And let's turn in our Bibles to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. In verse 153, David said, "Consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes." David begins here and he says, "Consider my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law." Our subject is God's statutes in affliction. These things that David asked God to do here are God's statutes to us, what he calls his child to do in all times of trouble. Through all David's affliction, he didn't forget God's law. He did not forget God's law. The whole Word of God is teaching us to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to believe God, to trust His Son, and trust Him to save us. And that means save us eternally. That means save us every day. That means for Him to save us continually. The moral law of God teaches us our sin and teaches us our need of Christ. Why we need Christ to save us, because by nature we're sin, we're guilty. The ceremonial law teaches us Christ is salvation. Everything in those statutes and ordinances of the moral, of the ceremonial law, we're teaching Christ is salvation. He's the righteousness of His people. The Psalms and the prophets are all declaring that Christ is coming and what He would accomplish and what He would be for His people in salvation. And the Gospels and the epistles are declaring to us Christ has come, declares to us what He has accomplished, and declares to us what He shall yet accomplish and how He should lose none. And the whole Word of God is teaching us to believe on the Lord Jesus. If you summed it up, Psalm 50 and verse 51, the Lord's teaching us, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." Now, David, when he says here, "Consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law," he's not asking God to deliver him due to the fact that he remembered God's word and God's gospel. He's not asking him to deliver him for the sake that he does remember it. He remembers God's gospel. He remembers all these promises of God. He remembers these things God commands us. And that's why he's asking. It's like this. In Psalm 86, David prayed, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." You see, that's the reason. I'm calling on you because you're good. I remember you're good. You're ready to forgive. You're plenteous in mercy to them that call upon you. And so in our psalm, he's saying, "Consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I don't forget that thou, O Lord, art good. You're ready to forgive. You're plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." He remembered the gospel that God had declared to him. That's why he's calling on God. That's why any of us call on God. Now, I want us, first of all, to consider how that the law, the whole Word of God, declares that God saves all His people by Christ His Son. That's the message of the whole book, that he saves his people by his Son. Now, David had been taught the gospel by the Lord. He'd been taught this. He'd been taught, regenerated, taught in spirit that Christ is his salvation. And God gave him inspiration to write many of the things that Christ would accomplish for his people concerning his offices, concerning what he would accomplish. Many of the New Testament passages come from David's writing or what David had written. But David not only wrote those things, God gave him a heart and he believed the things he wrote. Christ was his salvation. And he hadn't forgotten God's law. He hadn't forgotten God's gospel to him. Though he'd been afflicted and been through some troubles, he hadn't forgotten it. One of the things David was used to write in Psalm 2:7, he wrote, I will declare the decree. This is the word of God. I will declare the decree. That's the same word as statute. I will declare the statute. This is God's statute, His decree. The Lord hath said unto me, speaking of Christ, thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. We have a lot of references to this in the New Testament. And what it's declaring to us is Christ is God. He's co-eternal with the Father, co-existent with the Father. Always has been with the Father. From the beginning of creation, Christ has been the salvation of His people. Even from before creation, in eternity, He was set up as the salvation of His people. So David here, as somebody that's been born again, somebody that's been taught this by the Spirit of God, knows the Lord Jesus is eternal God. He knows, though Christ hasn't come in the flesh, He knows He is the eternal Son of God. And so, having been given those words to write, he writes them. But David knows this is Christ. He knows what Christ, that He would come, that He would come in the flesh, He would accomplish His salvation. And David believed that because God's Son is eternal, that Christ is eternal, though He hadn't come in the flesh yet, David believed right then Christ was His salvation. Christ was His salvation. So in his afflictions, he didn't forget the law of God. He did not forget. He remembered Christ is eternal. He was his Savior right then, the eternal Son of God. And so David looked to him. He's God, mighty to save. That's who David believed. That's who we believe. That's who his people believe. God had taught David that the Son of God would take flesh and blood, like unto his brethren. He would come and he would take flesh and blood like his people. And a body would be prepared for him by the Holy Spirit. And that he would fulfill the covenant between God the Father and God the Son. David believed that. Because God gave him these words to write. And David, he gave him these words in his heart to believe. Back in Psalm 40, verse 6, this is where David declares it. This is what he hadn't forgotten. He said in Psalm 40, verse 6, this is Christ speaking, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened. Hebrews 10 says, a body hast thou prepared me. Burnt offering and sin offering thou hast not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it's written of me. I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. David, having this word given to him and spiritual discernment given to him, David knew in those sacrifices of those bulls and goats, he knew those sacrifices didn't save. He knew those sacrifices pointed to Christ, and he saw Christ in those sacrifices. I'm trying to show you this is the gospel David believed. God's never saved any way but by the same gospel. And so when David says, I don't forget your law, it's the same gospel God's taught us. The same gospel of Christ that God's taught us. So in David's trials, when he had sinned, he knew Christ was his righteousness. He knew Christ was his surety, even though Christ had come in the flesh and laid down his life and shed his blood and accomplished redemption as his surety. David believed Christ was his righteousness as much before Christ came as he is after Christ came. That was David's confidence. So David asked God, consider my affliction, for I have not forgotten thy law. That's why he's asking God to consider him. He remembers Christ is my Redeemer. Christ is my righteousness. He's asking God to consider him for that reason, for Christ's sake. And then in Psalm 132, God gave David spiritual discernment. He gave him these words to write. To know that Christ was his king. Christ was his king. David was given discernment to realize this. David knew this. That he and his throne, David and David's throne, was a picture of Christ the king and Christ's throne. David was given spiritual discernment. This is what David was given the word to write. In Psalm 132:11. The Lord has sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set up will I set upon thy throne. Of the fruit of your body I'll set upon thy throne. He said in verse 17, there will I make the horn of David to bud. I've ordained a lamp for mine anointed. The Spirit of God gave Paul a message on that David wrote. And here's what Paul said about that. This is what David knew. He said, of this man's seed, of David's seed, out of his loins, hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, the Lord Jesus. And that's what David knew. God gave David this law, and David remembered it. He remembered this word of our Lord. I've set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. David was penned to write that psalm too. Even though Christ hadn't come in the flesh, even though he hadn't arisen and sat down at God's right hand, David knew right then, because he's the eternal Son of God, the eternal Christ, pre-incarnate, that he was David's king. And David was ruled by him. God said, I will declare the decree. I'll declare the statute. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. God gave David the word, and David wrote in Psalm 89:27, he wrote what God said. Also, I will make him my firstborn higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever. Don't you know when the Lord told David that? And gave David those words to write. Don't you know when he heard Christ is the king, and God promised, I'll make Christ's seed to endure forevermore. David took his place right there as one of Christ's seed, one of his true spiritual children. And he knew, it's in Christ that I'm going to live forevermore. He hung on to that. He hung on to that word. He believed that word. God said, he used David in Psalm 72:8. He used him to write this. Christ shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from the river unto the ends of the earth. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. So there you see David. He's in his trials. We've seen him in 1 Samuel out in the wilderness in his trials that he's going through. He needed to be saved. He needed to be safe in his affliction. But by God's grace, he hadn't forgotten the word of God. And God's witness, God's testimony that Christ was his king, Christ was his savior, Christ was his righteousness. David had been taught this in the heart. Even the things he hadn't been given the words to pen yet. When God revealed the gospel to him, David understood this just like you and me do. This is what God reveals when he teaches you the gospel. And so David knew, according to the flesh, Christ is coming through him. Can you imagine God telling you that? But you know what that meant for David? That meant security for David. That meant David was going to live till he at least had the son through whom Christ was coming. And God would preserve him. And David believed that it was in Christ he'd be saved. He hadn't forgotten this. When the affliction was heavy and the trials were heavy, David did not forget this gospel because God had planted it in his heart. And that's so of his people. So while he's in the wilderness, what did he do? He did what God said his people will do. He bowed to Christ. That's what we see him doing in Psalm 119. Bowing and asking the Lord to consider him. To consider him in his affliction. God's law to David. The gospel he gave David to write. David even wrote intricate details about how Christ would suffer. In Psalm 22, David wrote how the Lord Jesus would be rejected by men. He wrote how he wrote about the people surrounding the Lord Jesus around the cross. He wrote about how they nailed his feet and his hands to the cross. He wrote about how they would cast lots and part his garments. He heard Christ declare in Psalm 22, he was given these words that Christ would speak. And David understood these things. That Christ said, he was forsaken because God is holy. And he was bearing the sin of his people. And David was given a spiritual discernment to know these things. And faith to believe these things. He believed Christ would not see corruption. He believed that though he died and went in the grave, he would come out of that grave and arise to God's right hand because he accomplished the redemption of his people. God gave David the words to write that. But not only the words to write it, he gave him the heart to believe it. He said, "Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." Did David really believe? Did he believe these things concerning Christ? Peter, by the Spirit of God, said on the day of Pentecost, he said, indeed, David knew and he believed these things that God taught him. This is what he said about that. David, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn to him. That's the law David remembered. God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. And he's seeing this before. David saw this beforehand, and he spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. Faith sees things that carnal sight don't see. David had the word of God, and he saw and believed that this was coming to pass, and this was all his salvation, what Christ would accomplish. God taught David in his law. And David saw by faith that Christ really accomplished the redemption of his people. He saw that David accomplished the redemption of his people and would rise to God's right hand, and that every gift that we receive, every spiritual blessing given his people is directly from the Lord Jesus. And David believed this. He wrote this in Psalm 68, verse 18. Thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive, thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. That's who he is. He daily loads his people with benefits. He is the God of our salvation. He accomplished redemption. He arose to God's right hand. He led captivity captive. We were all God's elect. We're the captives of the devil. And he came, and by his blood, by justifying his people, he freed his people from the captivity of the devil and arose to God's right hand. And all that remains is for him to send the gospel into our hearts and free us from our sin nature, to faith in him. The pre-incarnate Lord Jesus, he hadn't come in the flesh yet, but he's the one that taught David this gospel. He's the one that kept this law in David's heart. It was written on his heart, just like he promised to write it on our hearts. And David knew Christ was his salvation, his righteousness, his glory. And God wouldn't let him forget it. And God won't let you forget it, child of God. That's the law David didn't forget. So when he's afflicted and he needed God to raise him up, that's why he asked God to consider his affliction. He remembered this gospel. He remembered what God told him. That's our motive for calling on God, all God's covenant promises to his people, the gospel of our Lord. David was a prophet. He was sent by Christ himself. David was a prophet. But David knew Christ is the prophet. He knew that because he'd been taught by the Lord Jesus. He knew Christ is the preeminent preacher. He's the preeminent bishop, the elder, the pastor, all the same word. That's who Christ is, the preacher, ruling the hearts of his people by the rod of his gospel. Christ takes this very law, this very word that gives him all the glory, the very word he gave David to write, and he preaches this into our hearts through the preaching of the gospel, and he makes us willing to call on him in the day of his power. David wrote that in Psalm 110:1, the Lord said to my Lord. That's David. That tells you David knew. The Lord said to my Lord. He's saying, Jehovah God said to Christ my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. What's that? That's the gospel of Christ. Where does it come from? Out of Zion, where Christ sits. He sends the gospel into the heart of his messenger, and through the preaching of the gospel sends it into the heart of his people. And what's the result? He rules in the midst of his enemies. He rules in the midst of his enemies through the preaching of the gospel. Christ is accomplishing it all through the message that declares his glory. And thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power and the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning when thou hast the dew of thy youth. And he's going to keep you renewed as in your youth. That new man in you is not getting older. Your flesh is getting older and it's going to die. The new man in you is as youthful as it was the first day God called you. Holy and righteous in Christ. Eternally alive by Christ Jesus the life. And he keeps you renewed in the beauty of holiness in that inner man so that you know him. Now, we know, we've seen this. David sinned in his trials. We saw that many times. But David had not forgotten that Christ is his high priest. Christ is his high priest. Even before the Lord had come, even before he'd accomplished it on the cross, David knew Christ was his high priest, his advocate with the Father. He saw it pictured that every time that high priest, that earthly high priest, went into the holiest of holies, David sat there, and by faith he realized, that's my Redeemer. That's my great high priest in the holiest of holies before God my Father. The Lord has sworn and will not repent, God, a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. David wrote that in Psalm 110:4. He knew Christ as the eternal high priest. Now, having seen, this is the law that David remembered. This is a law that the Lord God didn't let him forget. Now let's see, what are the statutes that David obeyed that came from God? What did he ask? Verse 153. Now, you could take any section of Psalm 119, and we've looked some at 1 Samuel. You could take any section in this psalm and apply it to those trials David went through when he was suffering in affliction. But first thing he asked the Lord was, consider my affliction and deliver me. The word is redeem me. Consider my affliction and redeem me. Our all-knowing God always considers the affliction of his children. He chose us in Christ. He's going to keep us and save us. And he's always considers the affliction of his people. He appointed our afflictions. Remember Paul saying that to the Thessalonians, we're appointed to these afflictions. And the Lord rules the affliction for the good of his child. It's just to teach us. It's to bring us where David was brought, to call on the Lord to save and remind us he's our Savior. He's our Redeemer. God's saints now, we have a sin nature, and when you come into trial, you and me both know this, when you come into trial, you're very prone to look at second causes. You're very prone to look at the second causes first. David did that on many occasions when we've seen him going through his trials, and when he tried to deliver himself, what happened? He got himself into more trouble. Every time. But when it pleases God, when he may let you do that to the time he's appointed. He's going to let you do that to show you. But then God's going to turn you and he's going to make you look to Christ and cease from man. And faith is going to see things that carnal sight doesn't see. Faith's going to behold and know and remember this gospel of God that the providence is God's hand chastening the child he loves. Correcting and teaching and instructing the child he loves. Just like a father chastens, an earthly father chastens his child. Now, salvation's far from the wicked because they don't see God's statutes. God's not in their thoughts. The wicked are unregenerate men, but they're not just wild sinners. I thought about it when I passed up here on the way here. There's a bunch of families up there having a good time today, playing softball. God's not in their thoughts whatsoever. And they don't want God to be in the thoughts of their children. Because they don't want God in their thoughts. But the wicked hear that God rules all providence, that he sent the storm that caused destruction and caused them sorrow. And it angers men to hear that message. It would bring more sorrow to God's child if we thought God did not send the storm, that we thought it came some other way and was ruled some other way, that would cause us more sorrow. Because we know this, no matter what the cup of affliction is that you have to drink, you know your Father filled that cup and gave it to you. And you know that He measures it, and He will not give you any more than is fit and needful to teach you the message of this gospel, that your salvation is Christ only. That's always the purpose, and He will not fill that cup up any more than that until He teaches you that lesson. The message He's teaching us, or the statute He's teaching us, is call upon Me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify Me. David asked God to do for him what David couldn't do, what nobody else could do. Consider my affliction and deliver me. You know what that word consider means? It means God our Father has pity and compassion on His child. He has pity and compassion on His child. David's saying, consider, have pity, have compassion on me. Psalm 103:13 says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him, for He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we're dust. David was given the words to write that. He hadn't forgot that. So he asked God, pity, have pity and compassion on me. Consider me. Our Lord Jesus is a high priest that he's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He knows the feeling of our weakness. He was touched with all of them, yet without sin. And so He says, come to My throne of grace, that you might find grace and mercy and grace to help in time of need. Now, two, David obeyed the Lord's statute by asking the Lord, plead My cause and deliver me. Plead My cause and deliver me. Christ Jesus is the advocate of His people. He's our lawyer. He's our defender. He alone pleads our cause. That's why God sends affliction. He sends affliction to His child to keep us remembering we have one advocate. It's the Lord Jesus. We have one advocate. Christ pled the cause of all God's elect on the cross. And He accomplished it. The law and justice of God charged us. We were guilty. And our Lord Jesus took the place of His people, and He satisfied that justice, and He justified all His people. And now He ever lives at God's right hand to plead our cause, our advocate with the Father. And so as we're going through this life and we're going through this world, Christ is going to plead our cause. He's going to plead the cause of His people against Satan's accusations. He's going to plead the cause of His people against the accusation of our own sin nature. He's going to plead our cause before men. And He's the only one who can do it. If this occasion, if it was one of those occasions where David was charged falsely, if it was an occasion where David was charged falsely, still David did not try to plead his own cause. He trusted the Lord to plead His cause. Even being innocent. Listen to this. In 1 Samuel 24:14, David said this to Saul. He said, after whom is the king of Israel come out? After whom dost thou pursue? After a dead dog? After a flea? David said, even if I'm innocent of whatever it is you're charging with me, Saul, I'm still a sinner. I'm a dead dog. I'm a flea. The Lord, therefore, be judge and judge between me and thee, and see and plead my cause, and deliver me out of thy hand. That was his confidence in the Lord. And then there were many occasions we've seen where David just flat out sinned. Well, what did he do then? Did he trust Christ to plead his cause then? By God's grace, he confessed his sin to the Lord, and he said what Micah said. Micah 7:9, Micah said, I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I've sinned against Him until He plead my cause and execute judgment for me. He will bring me forth to the light and I shall behold His righteousness. You see why this is God's statute to us? His word to us is, look unto Me and be you saved, all the ends of the earth, for I'm God and there's none else. He speaks to His child when you've sinned. This is His exhortation to us, that you sin not. As He tells us that from the beginning, sin not. But here's the motive we have for not fainting and falling away. He says, and when you sin, when any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and He is the propitiation for our sin. Isn't that good news, brethren? So we ask Him to plead our cause. Now here's the third thing He asks the Lord. He asks the Lord to quicken me. Quicken me. David had been quickened. He was a regenerated child of God, a holy child of God. But he asked God to quicken him because God's saints need to be quickened again and again. This is what revival is. Revival is not this stirring everybody up in this big hoop-de-doo of a bunch of people all excited. Revival is God dealing individually with His child and reviving you in the heart. That's revival. We need revival. We need the Spirit of God reviving us again. We've seen that. David pled this because he knew his own weakness. He knew his own weakness. He said back up there in verse 25, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. David knew the corruption of his own sin nature. David had seen his own unbelief and how at times we've seen it in the Scriptures. He just acted like he'd never even heard the gospel and didn't even believe God. And it was powerful, that sin nature was. It captured him at times. David was ready to faint in despair of life. He knew he needed God's renewing grace. He needed that. And he asked the Lord, quicken me. Now notice this here, the last word there. He said, according to your word, according to thy word, according to your promise, God, according to your gospel. Everything he just asked the Lord is what God has promised his people in the gospel. It applies to each thing he said. Plead my cause. Consider me according to thy word. Plead my cause according to thy word. Quicken me according to thy word. Deliver me according to thy word. This is the law David didn't forget. This is the gospel. God kept him knowing in his heart. This is why he called on God to do this. God said, it glorifies me. And he said, and when I've done these things for you, you shall glorify me. If David could have done any of these things for himself, David would have gloried in David. But God said, you'll call on me. He'll bring you to such a place you can't do these things yourself. And he said, you'll call on me and I'll do this for you and you'll glorify me. You glorify me. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. You think about David, and we've all experienced this. We've done it. Every time David leaned to his own understanding, and he tried to fix it, he tried to deliver himself, he just made it worse, and it just was all messed up. It got worse and worse. But when he trusted the Lord, when he called out to the Lord to do these things for him, the Lord did it, and he was renewed, and he saw the Lord did it, and he glorified the Lord. He had communion with God, and everything was well. I read a story about a man named Mr. Whitelock, and he lived in England. And he was so troubled about England and what was going on in that time, and there's the peril of England, and everything was just a mess with the rulers and everything. And he had a servant to might work for him. And he said, Mr. Whitelock, this is what his servant said. Mr. Whitelock, did England get on pretty well before you were born? He said, oh, yes, John. If you could have seen it back in those days, England got along very well. They thrived very, very well. He said, that's what I'm so troubled about. They got along very well before I was born. He said, well, you think you'll get on all right when you're dead? He said, yes, I believe the Lord will take care of it. I believe He's going to keep this country and it'll continue. And the servant said, well then, if I were you, sir, I'd leave it to God and I wouldn't trouble myself about it. That's what David was being taught. That's what you and me are being taught. Worry, putting our hand to it, it doesn't fix it. It makes it worse. It's why God told him, you can't have, when you build that altar, don't you build steps up to that altar. You'll discover your nakedness if you come into God by steps, step by step, getting higher and higher. He said, you're going to discover your nakedness. It's why he made them chisel out those stones and then bring them there and just put them in place in the temple. Don't lift up your tool on it, he said, or you'll pollute it. It's why when he reached out, the man reached out to stable the ark, God smote him. We're to trust God. Look to the Lord. When we're trying to fix things and we're trying to deliver ourselves, we're not obeying the Lord. We're not obeying the Lord. The battle is not yours, but the Lord's. And somebody will say, yeah, but the Scripture speaks of us as fighting the good fight. Yes, it does. But the fight is within. The fight is denying ourselves and trusting the Lord to win the battle. That's the warfare. That's the warfare. He's the captain of our salvation. He has accomplished our warfare at Calvary on the cross. In every other little battle we come into, he's the one that will win the victory. Peace and believing is leaving everything in our Lord's hand. It's casting all your burden on him, trusting Christ, and leaving it with him. And I pray that's what he'll give us grace to do. Cast your burden upon the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there. Let's go to him in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this word. Lord, you are indeed holy. You consider your people. You have pity and compassion on your weak children. Lord, we thank you that you have pled the cause of your people yourself. Amazing grace that the lawgiver came and made himself under the law and became the law keeper and did it all that he might make us righteous. Lord, you are an amazing, gracious, merciful God. Thankful, Lord, that you quicken us. You won't let us forget this gospel. You keep teaching us. You keep reminding us. We're thankful, Lord, for the affliction. We need it. It's good for us, Lord, to teach us that we might learn your statutes. These very statutes we see David learned. And Lord, we pray you continue to teach us and make us get a good understanding. Make us wise to trust you. You do all things well. You created this world. You've held it in store right up to this day. Everything has come to pass exactly according to your purpose by your sovereign hand. Lord, we can trust you. We can trust you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy to us. So often in unbelief, and we just don't believe and trust you. Thank you, Lord, for being merciful to us for Christ's sake. Thank you for full, complete pardon of our sin for his sake. Thank you for perfect righteousness in him. Lord, we pray you bless this word. Make it truly our aim in all things, Lord, to trust you alone. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.